just like you, I know that this investment pays way more. It has much bigger ROI than me talking to my team in this moment. Me investing 1 hour into pleasure and showing up so confidently throughout the day, making decisions with much more clarity in my mind because I've had pleasure for the day, is significantly better for business and for growth and for money.
You are listening to the Feminine Power Podcast, your portal into embodiment, feminine awakening, and the true power of your life force, sexual energy. I'm your host, Maria Grinina, founder of Feel, a global platform for feminine embodiment, and a coach for women ready to live with magnetism, love, and full aliveness. If you're ready to rise, you're in the right place. Follow the show and let's begin. Today's episode might make you rethink productivity and ways of getting motivation, inspiration, and more energy. Because my guest doesn't even drink coffee. Neither does she overload on some extra special trendy supplements. And she is going full force after her dreams, launching and running multiple businesses, writing a book, and runs a community of over 5 million people on social media. She is also a tenured professor, award-winning researcher, and the dating expert on the UK's hit reality show Celebs Go Dating. She sources her energy from daily orgasms and a lot of pleasure in small and big things. She nourishes her feminine energy by being a truly supportive sister to other women and by intentionally practicing sensuality. Keep listening to this conversation with Dr. Tara if you want to learn why pleasure is the ultimate source of power, what investing in our bodies and orgasms does for our businesses and creativity, and how to build a personal brand, hire the right team, and love and embrace money as a woman. When we recorded this podcast, Dr. Tara was just back from orgasmic hypnosis training by David Marius, one of the teachers you might have met inside our course Feminine Power Blueprint. So I asked her, how was it?
My weekend was multi-orgasmic. I joined David's orgasmic hypnosis workshop. It was really, really interesting. I was a bit shocked how simple it is because before I went into the retreat, I didn't know much about hypnosis or hypnotherapy. I've done it before as a participant. Like I've done, you know, hypnotherapy for food or for other things. But I just thought it would be very, very complex. But the way David taught it, it was like not that complex at all. The first day it was a lot of theory, but then there was also like some practice and I was able to practice with his partner, Maya. And she made me like come really hard. My face was numb because it was coming so hard and she didn't even touch me. And then the next day was practicum, so it was a lot of practicing and on each other, and I apparently got really good because David was like observing me doing it on two different women and both of them came multiple times from my from my hypnosis.
What a weekend. That's not the usual answer to a question, how was your weekend?
I feel like all my weekends are not the usual answer though, babe, to be honest. I try to keep it that way. And then on Monday, before I left Ibiza, I was able to go in for a Shibari session. Are you a fan of Shibari?
I am. I do host some amazing workshops regularly.
I love it. So you are the Shibari master, like you're the practitioner.
No, not at all. I am the one who holds space and enjoys it a lot. I set a tantric container and then I work with Marie Savage, who is one of the best in the world, and we do stuff together. Yeah.
It's incredible. I have done a lot of sort of BDSM and bondage, especially in LA. But this was my first full Shibari session with a very sensual and soft dom. Maya, David's partner, I think she goes by Catharsis. I have not experienced a lot of sensual, soft doms. And I actually really love it because she presents very feminine and soft, but when she talks to me in my ears, I'm like, yes, mistress, I'll do whatever you want me to do. She's she's like, surrender. And she has a French accent. Oh my God. Yeah. She told me to surrender. I surrendered for sure. And you know, the most shocking part about this whole Shibari experience was when I came out of it, I cried hysterically. And I rarely cry. I was so emotional. And I cried just happy tears. I cried a lot. I record all of it on camera just like to remember how it felt like the very first time I did it. And I can't wait to do it again. It's so intimate.
It's one of my favorite practices. And I love that you mentioned this soft dom experience because domination for me, I know we look at BDSM and domination as something that must be necessarily dark.
Right. And like degrading. And yeah.
But very often, and for me, for example, I love BDSM experiences, but I hate humiliation. I need to be spoken to as to a queen or someone beautiful and special. I don't like someone telling me I'm shit and I'm a slut. Like, that's not me. It's just not, I don't love that. But at the same time, I love to be dominated. I love to be told what to do and I love to serve. And it's another side. And very often it's about surrender, really. Because as you say, you cried after your experience. And that often can happen because your body actually released so much in the experience of full softening in the rope. So like, oh.
So much, so much. I was, you know, for the time that I was tied up, and the inability to move any part of my body because my whole body was tied up and I was suspended. You really just couldn't do anything except just say yes. For me, as someone that has a lot of control in my life and managing a lot of people and business, it's really nice to be on autopilot and just do nothing for a change. Yeah, and feel very taken care of by her energy because she presents soft, but she's very commanding. And God, that accent, like the French accent, it's so hot. I'm so turned on by certain accents. And some accents are just really, really hot.
A year and a half ago, they did a BDSM workshop at our event as a couple. That was amazing. The whole room was grooving. They were teaching electroshock.
Oh, it like cattle prod.
Yeah, yeah. In the group setting, that was fun. So that was fascinating.
Wow.
You should come to our events.
I will. When is the next one? I'm over there.
Yeah, next one is October, except I know you have a book launch and stuff, but there will be more.
Yeah, I'm so fascinated because you have created such a beautiful, open-minded community. And that's so hard to find, especially we live in a very rigid, masculine world. I think you've created such a beautiful space and really just all the praises for you. Good job. Good girl.
Good
girl.
Yes.
You're doing so well. You're such a good girl.
Oh, thank you. Yes. I love that we're starting this podcast with this deviation into the power dynamics and your terrible experience from this weekend. Actually, I want to talk about business and how you, as a woman, are being so brave and being so unapologetic and really going for it and building and creating and being successful. So I want to know how and what is your secret? And also, you know, being the fact that you're in a sexual wellness industry and there is so much stigma and I'm sure like so much to work through and being the face and being out there, it does take a lot of courage. And also most people would really struggle with that. So I want to learn from you how you overcome these struggles and also all the nitty-gritties around building a business these days, especially digitally, especially when it comes to your personal brand. Now, as we after this spicy talk, can you tell me a little more about who you are, especially for those who don't know?
So hi, everybody. My name is Dr. Tara, and I am a sex and relationship expert. I wear four hats. First, I am a tenured professor of human sexuality at Cal State University. I teach a few hundred students every semester how to understand their sexuality better, how to become more tolerant towards non-traditional sexual practices and attitudes, and I help them just become better lovers and better people. So that's my first hat. My second hat is a social media influencer. I have a really big community online called Love Bites, where I have cultivated over 2.5 million people to really just get together and enjoy sex positivity through media. And that can be from either like TikTok, Instagram, but also my newsletter, my blogs. And that part generates the most money, in which we can go into later, because I know I'm very transparent with finances, especially for other women in the industry. I want everyone to make a fuck ton of money and become successful. There's abundance, there's space for everybody. So we'll talk about that. Third is I'm a media personality. I am a sex expert. This is my third season of the TV show called Celebs Go Dating in the UK. I have done a lot of TV in LA in terms of like morning shows and news segments on KTLA, ABC News, Fox. And usually I just give intimacy advice. Within the media realm, I also have a radio show called Love Line, which is a really huge iconic radio show from the 90s that was brought back by me and Kevin Kenny, who's also a TV host on MTV. And I write my own column for Women's Health magazine called Explore with Dr. Tara. Okay, my fourth hat, which is really it encompasses all these hats. My fourth hat is an entrepreneur. I am an entrepreneur and I have various businesses. I have my books. I have my investments. I invest in a few different female-owned companies. I invest in, of course, my business. I have a big team because you gotta spend money to make money. I'm gonna have my book is coming out in October. It's called How Do You Like It? A Guide to Getting What You Want in Bed. And my lube line is coming out this holiday season. It's called Drip by Dr. Tara. So yeah. That's me. I hope none of you are sleeping. I hope that was engaging. But I do many different things because I enjoy it. I get bored easily. I'm a Sagittarius rising. I need to have different things going on.
Oh, that's amazing. And what is the coolest part here is that you are thriving. You look great. You are in your beautiful, sexy feminine, totally. And the bravery and the drive is really inspiring, because for most people out there, it's like, oh, to succeed, I have to do so many things and I have to sacrifice some things. Of course, we do the sacrifices and everything, but you have this energy of really doing it from love and from drive and from inspiration. So what's the secret?
Orgasms. <Yes.
laughs> I know that for sure.
I am powered by orgasms. I really am. Because, like, first off, I don't drink caffeine. So people are like, you feel like an energizer bunny. Like, do you just, you know, pound coffee and Red Bull? Like, I actually don't consume any caffeine. So my energy is 100% organic and natural. From my body, from the chemicals that I produce in my body. And I make sure I take care of my body. I do, you know, breath work. I try to like exercise. But a lot of it is really from pleasure and finding pleasure in like little things in life too. Not just sexual pleasure, but of course, a lot of sexual pleasure. And that's a real answer. It's hard for people to grasp if they haven't consistently have orgasms for this long in my life. But when you really start having not a routine per se, but a prioritization of pleasure in your life, you realize like a lot of energy just comes from your body, because you know all the natural chemicals. I get dopamine, right? Oxytocin, serotonin, all of that chemicals from just my own body.
And this makes such a perfect sense from health perspective, from spiritual perspective. Sexual energy is a creative energy. That's how you get more creative, how you get more build more vitality. But also from the chemical perspective and hormonal perspective, you know how most people seek relaxation or any sort of dopamine hits from usually unhealthy sources. While the stigma out there is more around women who love sex and not around most people who like to find unhealthy sources just to feel okay. And that's
100% because you get dopamine from alcohol, right? You get dopamine because these are instant gratification. So you get dopamine from alcohol, you get dopamine from junk food, or overeating and drugs. And for some people, sort of toxic relationship, right?
Yeah.
You get dopamine from the push and pull of toxic relationship. So yeah, I think living a healthy life means different things for different people. But for me, it's prioritizing pleasure.
That's amazing. And how do you do that?
In so many ways. I mean, the most obvious way is having great sex, but that doesn't come easy. That doesn't come easy. You have to be really in tune with your body,
yeah.
Which I help a lot of women become more in tune with their bodies. You do too.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk to me about your processes of helping women become more sexual and build agency for their own sexuality? Because that's what you do.
Yeah. Well, you know that it is the most natural thing for us people, and especially for women, to feel pleasure. When we are healthy and our baseline is healthy and our nervous system feels safe, pleasure and ecstasy are the most natural things for us to feel. And therefore, it's so much more about releasing and letting go of toxic things and negative things, negative patterns, rather than trying to go and get something. Because pleasure is already there. It is that we are so stressed, so focused on other things, so full of crap very often. And we need to release and let go of these things before we can start feeling that natural pleasure. And that's why the path to pleasure very often first involves changing the lifestyle and changing how we live and how we speak to ourselves and creating this safety in the nervous system. And then that can be done through a pleasure practice. Really, the first and foremost that actual thing we can do, apart from creating a healthy lifestyle that allows our nervous system to be safe, is to start practicing pleasure. Just as you say, of course, finding it in small things, slowing down, starting to notice how food tastes. Food is a big part of it. That's where we can get our healthy pleasure. But then learning to touch ourselves and actually slowing down and doing it not like in porn, or starting to masturbate or having self-pleasure without any external stimulation, but actually being with our own bodies and learning to breathe, learning to see and feel how our skin feels with different kind of touch, and learning to spend time and invest in time. And one interesting thing here is that most people learn to self-pleasure or have an orgasm as children early, and we have mostly one way. So like there is this rub of clitoris quickly before parents notice, and it's always this kind of external and really focused down there. But rarely do we learn a different way where it's about us giving us half an hour or an hour of massaging the skin, breathing into our yonis, moving, dancing, caressing ourselves in different ways, outside, inside, and allowing ourselves to reach orgasm from a place of pure surrender and relaxation, which is much deeper. It's very rare that people do that. But point there is, if you invest the same amount of time as into this kind of deeper pleasure as you did into learning how to rub your clitoris to come quickly, you will learn that too. It's just about the time investment.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I can't come from my internal stimulation, or I cannot have a deeper orgasm. But I'm like, well, have you tried investing about like at least 30% of time into practicing that as you did into practicing the other way?
You know, I can tell that you're so business oriented because you talk about pleasure as investment. And I'm there with you. I'm there with you because I love talking about business and it is investment. It's investment. Yeah, it is definitely like you lose opportunity cost, right? Because when you are having pleasure and you're focusing on that and you're spending time on that, you're not doing these other things, right? Maybe you're not trading stocks. Maybe you're not meeting your team. But just like you, I know that this investment pays way more. It has much bigger ROI than me talking to my team in this moment. Me investing 1 hour into pleasure and showing up so confidently throughout the day, making decisions with much more clarity in my mind because I've had pleasure for the day, is significantly better for business and for growth and for money.
Yeah.
I think that's the secret then. Yes. That's the secret. It's investing in pleasure. We came together.
Yes.
We came to this conclusion together. I love this. This is such a bonding moment between us because you have to invest in pleasure and the ROI is fucking great. So listen up and start doing it.
I had this coaching session recently that on my mindset, actually with David, who you've just been spent the weekend with. And we've been finding out, what am I driven by? Like, how do I make my choices? And different people make different choices depending on, okay, this thing looks good, this thing feels good, and my decision is driven by ROI. This thing will pay off. So that's how I think.
Wait a minute. What's your zodiac sign?
I'm a Capricorn and rising.
Oh, yeah, of course. So you're driven by ROI. I see. Yeah. That makes sense. Is this worth my time?
Yeah. Like, if I put this amount of effort, how much more will it pay back to me? That's how I'm making my decisions about everything.
I know Capricorns really well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know your motivation.
Yeah.
It's got to make it worthwhile, right?
Yeah. Like, what? Like, if it looks good, but it's not going to pay off, I don't care really. Like, well, whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right. I deeply understand that.
Yeah. So
deeply
with that, that's I guess why I've picked this business. I know pleasure, feeling good, harmony, balance, that actually pays off long term so much more. You live longer, feel better, your relationships are better, you make more money, everything is better, so much better, because you invest in your body, in your pleasure, in how you feel, and how you feel shapes your entire life. Okay,
yeah,
back to your practices. What else do you do to feel more pleasure? And how do you invest in it?
So self-pleasure is a big part of what I do. When I'm not, you know, spending time with any partner, I make sure that I spend time on my own body. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily always go to the clit first. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite spots is really like the nipples and the areolas and sort of spending time there. Sometimes I orgasm from just my nipples, like nipple orgasm. And that can feel really good. And I have no pressure in trying to orgasm in a different way.
Yeah.
But sometimes I, you know, spend time sort of breathe. I do these sexual meditations. I breathe really deeply and try to feel my pelvic area and try to send blood there and energy there before I touch myself. And usually I get really wet when I spend time. I have to spend time. I can't just, you know, like get wet like that. But when I spend time, I get really wet. And when I touch myself, I can come up like super fast if I spend the time. But you got to do the leg work. Like, you got to spend time stimulating like your mind, your body, your skin. I have different tools. I don't call them sex toys just because I don't feel like they are just toys. I feel like they are tools, because tools make your life easier and better. And I have a lot of sex tools that, you know, I have stuff that like caresses my body. I have nipple sucking tool that's like really hot, and not a lot of people use them because I think a lot of women are like, oh no, like I don't like playing with my nipples. But I'm like, oh my god, you are missing out. Your nipples are as sensitive. I can't say as sensitive as a clitoris because the clitoris literally have 10,000 nerve endings. But they are very, very sensitive.
If you're enjoying this episode, I'd love your support. Just tap three dots next to the podcast name wherever you're listening and select rate the show and leave us 5 stars. It takes a few seconds and it really helps more women find this space, connect with their bodies and come home to themselves. Thank you for being here with us.
And that's one way I do it. Of course, masturbating like with clitoral tools, like clitoral vibrators. I like those little ones, like the little quiet ones.
Yeah. 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 I remember you showed me. What are they called? Yeah. Cute ones.
Crave.
Yeah.
We call Crave. Yeah. Oh my God. Just beautiful. 18 karat gold. Like I know you're a Capricorn. Yeah. So you like nice things, right?
Yeah.
I love those tools. Beautiful. It doesn't feel intrusive. I also really love giving touch. I love physical touch. So I love giving people physical touch. And I get a lot of pleasure from cuddling, massaging another person, maybe like just holding hands, kissing their neck. Like that gives me a lot of pleasure too. Gives me oxytocin, which is a really good cocktail for energy. Let's see what else I do. I look at my business growth and I write like my journal. I have a thankful journal that I write in every day. And I write about at least three different things that I'm grateful for. And it's typically like related to my health, related to my life overall, and then related to my business.
Yeah.
And I'm just so grateful for all the opportunities that I've had. And I thank the universe and God every day for, helping me get to a place where I can help as many people as possible. So I have that thankful journal, which is also a part of my pleasure practice. After I'm done writing it, I feel a lot of pleasure in my body. And then just sex. I love sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But honestly, all of this, like, it just depends on the time and where I'm at and who I'm with. Mm. At the end of the day, it's purely about prioritizing and investing time in pleasure.
Yeah. And that bit, it's very often so many people, like most people out there these days, they feel guilty around prioritizing pleasure, or feel like it's productive and indulgent. Well, once again, the point we're raising here, this is what pays off, which is fantastic, isn't it? If we flip the idea.
Yeah, I love your perspective because people do say it's like an extra thing. It's not a core thing, but it's a core thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Okay, so now you're powered by orgasms, you're powered by pleasure, you invest in it, and then you have so much energy and output to build your business. How did you even start?
How did I start my business?
How did you start it? Like, what was the spark first? Were you always an entrepreneur, or it just happened at some point? When did you find the courage?
I did sell orange juice when I was a kid. My dad asked if I wanted to own a business and if I wanted to try something easy. And I said, yeah. Like, so I like made orange juice, packaged them in little bottles and went to like this mall and sell it at the mall. So that was my first entrepreneurship experience. But, this business really, I have to sort of go back a little bit. My background is an academic. I am fully an academic. I have published a lot of research. I have written a textbook that's used across the United States for the like sexual communication classes. So I started my whole career as an academic, and I have been an academic for over 12 years. The main shift into business happened at my fifth year at Cal State University, because I worked really hard. I was on this academic hamster wheel, and I published and I published and I got really good reviews from students. So I was able to earn my tenure and a promotion at my work just 5 years in. Like, people take much, much longer to earn tenure and promotion, but it only took me 5 years. So when I got tenure, it was like the pinnacle of an academic career. So then I'm like, what's next? Right? Like, I could be a professor and live a more sort of stable life and teach 2 days a week and have lots of free time and maybe have a family. And here's where we're going to talk about sacrifice. But I did not. That's not the life I wanted. I fully respect people that want that life, that have that life. But it's not the life I wanted. I want novelty, excitement, passion, desire, and new things. I want to live an expansive life. So I was talking to some of my students and they were like, Dr. Tara, you're so funny and engaging. You should have social media. Yeah, you should have social media and a podcast. And at the time, I did not have social media.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was only like four and a half years ago.
Unbelievable. 5 years ago. Like, cool.
Yeah. Mm. They were like, you should have a podcast and you should have social media. And at the time, I was not confident in like making content on social media. So I started making like, you know, graphics and teaching sex ed, but like through graphics and not showing my face. But then I had a really huge epiphany. I went to Costa Rica for an ayahuasca retreat. And I had really difficult trips. Very difficult journeys. I did three ceremonies. Very hard. I felt like it was one of the most painful physically, like most painful experience I've ever had. And yeah, and that trip changed everything for me. It changed everything. And you know, it's not the psychedelic per se, it's how you integrate, right? It's because you can do so much psychedelic but never apply it to your life ever and not actually take action. And to me, the more commendable part is whenever I observe people who change their lives in a way they want to, right? Like, you can change your life any day, anytime, but you have to do it. You can't just talk about it. And I was telling some of my friends, like, I think Mother Ayahuasca gave me balls.
Yeah.
Because after I left, my balls were so big. I was just shooting big loads. And I came back a completely different person. I changed everything in my life. I got a divorce. I started just throwing myself into my business and work and knowing that I am the person to like bring this to the community that needs me. So yeah, I changed everything. So I started showing my face more. I started networking more. I started just meeting. I've been just meeting all the right people that really helped me. Like I met my publicist early on, my LA publicist, and we can talk about this too, like how I structure my business and what key like stakeholders you need in your business to grow fast. But I met my publicist early on and I trusted her even though she was new. But when we met, I was like, wow, I feel this energy. She's a go-getter. She's a Capricorn. And I just know she'll get shit done, even though she just started and she's very young. But she went to UCLA. She's very connected. So I'm like, you know what? Let's work together. Like, I'll pay this person to be my publicist. And here we are. She has a big PR firm, so successful, just 4 years later, right? I knew it. I bet on her and she bet on me. And like, we grew so much together. I was in so many like press. And we, from then on, it was just like, let's go, go, go. The second person that I hired that was like vital to my business is my social media manager. And I first hired him as my personal assistant. So he was like picking up my laundry, doing like buying flowers for my house, like, you know, doing all the things, shipping my Amazon packages. Also like help me edit videos and post. But at the time I wasn't posting as much. But then we together learned so much about social media. We knew at the time we had to post 3 times a day, if not more. And we were like, oh man, I thought about it. I'm like, am I ready for this? Like posting 3 times a day, every fucking day. But you know what? I'm like, I'm a new person. So I'll do whatever it takes. So that's what I did. You know, I was still teaching full time. I teach like 4 classes every semester, hundreds of students, still publishing research, presenting talk, giving talks at conferences, doing press, and posting 3 times a day.
Wow.
So when people say they can't, I don't know. I think it's limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
So yeah, we did that. We did that for a year and we grew the community to 1 million. And from then on, I mean, this sounds like a little cocky. But from then on, it was really easy. When you hit like critical mass, it's easier. Yeah. So after growing my community to 1 million, I had so many brand deals. I had so many like press that wants to feature me. The TV show came in 3 years ago, long time ago now. So it's just, yeah, you gotta hustle at the beginning in order to hit your pivotal point. And then it's sort of easier from then on. But it doesn't mean I'm not still like hustling and trying to grow. I'm working all the time, every day. And I love it that way. Don't talk to me about work-life balance. I don't have work-life balance. I have lots of orgasms and lots of work and lots of deals. And that's the way I like it. But I think when you hustle a lot at the beginning and you really have to give up so many things. And like I said, I sacrifice a lot. I sacrifice time. You know, I didn't hang out with friends. I didn't party. Didn't like have a lot of free time. I don't have children. That's the sacrifice that I made. You know, like I could have had children 5 years ago and life wouldn't be the same, right? Like I could have stayed married to my ex-husband, have multiple children, have a house with white picket fence, have a golden retriever, and just live that life, you know? Go get my nails done, go to Pilates, go shopping. But that's not the life I picked, right? Like this is the life I wanted. And here I am. I feel significant amount of like gratitude every single day because I get to live exactly how I want.
I'm seeing here full ownership and feeling unlimited, especially in the beginning. You said you've had this feeling of having new balls. That's often what is required, right? To go and just do it. Is it difficult to be on social media 3 times a day and like show your face first time and then go for it nonstop? Of course, it's difficult. And I'm sure.
And getting a ton of backlash.
Yeah, I can't imagine the backlash you can get, especially being in sexual wellness as a woman on social media. You must be getting like a lot and you have to deal with it, but you also have to not care really and just keep going. And this feeling of being unlimited is what is so important. And very often it's so hard to get. Have you always been like that or was...
No. I grew into this person. I mean, I've always had like... a part of my essence is assertive. And even as a kid, I was a little bit, I think, a little bit more assertive than others. But when I was a teenager, I started doing like modeling, like teen modeling, like magazine shoots. I did like teen catwalks. I walked for like Roxy, Volcom, and I did like music videos and commercials. So I think that work helped me become okay in my skin. Because in that work, you get a lot of rejection. You know, I would go to go-sees, right? Go-sees are like auditions. I would go to these go-sees and, you know, they would say like, oh my God, like this is perfect. We love you. You look so good in this. And then the next day, they'll be like, oh, we're sorry. We're not picking you, right? So I think from young age, I experienced a lot of rejection. I also had a whole year in middle school of bullying where I was bullied like relentlessly and... I didn't eat lunch with anybody for a whole year.
Ouch.
Like I ate lunch alone for the whole year. Imagine being like 13 and you know, it. So yeah, like I feel like there were many different moments in life like that happened. And then, you know, all the modeling and commercials that happened, a lot of rejection, but also a lot of success, right? I was able to make my own money, which was delicious, right? Like being 14, getting big paychecks from, you know, these things. Buying, I remember vividly, I bought, what is it called now? It was like those Nokia phones that slide up and down and it's gold.
Okay, yeah. I remember.
Yeah, 9919 or something. Like Nokia, I remember vividly, like I made money and I bought this phone myself. And it was delicious. It's a delicious feeling to like, be able to do that. So yeah, like I think in terms of assertiveness and being okay, I mean, hey, I'm not invincible. Like when I get a rejection, even these days, I still feel it, right? Like I'm still hurt, but I come back quite fast. Like I bounce back, you know, in maybe I'll be hurt for an hour. I cry over it, write about it, and I'm done. I'm what's next? So that from my childhood really helped. And then I don't know if I told you this, I moved around a lot. So I went to high school in Finland. So I lived in Europe before. And, you know, going there and having to adjust and fit into a new culture and acculturate and learning new customs and norms really helps me become like super adaptable and dynamic, and also help me see that people live different lives. People live in different ways. People in Finland live so differently than people from Thailand or LA or Arizona or London. So for me, all of those experiences had helped me become who I am today. But the most, I would say the most pivotal part of it all that helped me become so confident and so certain about myself and where I'm going, because I know where I'm going, right? Like definitely to the top. I think everyone can see it. But it really comes from the ability to go through divorce, because it was really, really hard. I think I downplay it a lot, but it was a very, very hard time. But choosing myself over people pleasing and staying in that marriage, that was everything to me. That gave me a lot of big balls.
Yeah, yeah. What was the hardest part about it?
I feel like it's really deep. But so in my culture, like where I'm from, nobody gets a divorce because it's very shameful. You stick it out. You stick it through. My parents, I mean, they always, like, that's their mantra, right? Like, whatever it is, you start a business, you finish it. You start this, you finish it. So when you're in a marriage, like, if it doesn't work, you work it out. You know, you stick it out. So for me, I had a lot of shame for a long time because I knew I wanted a divorce literally, like, a year and a half into the marriage. But I stayed for 3. So a full year and a half of feeling so guilty and shameful. And it showed in my body. I had like rashes. My hair was falling. My skin wasn't as good. I didn't even masturbate because I just didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
So, oh man, I think it's hard for people to understand because it's where I come from and the shame that you should be feeling for going through such a failure.
Yeah.
That was really hard for me. Considering I'm also a Virgo that likes to achieve and also someone that really cares about having like a healthy unit, right? Like a healthy team and, you know, a marriage as a team. So it's shameful, and living with shame for a year and a half really fucked me up big time.
Yeah. Now, shame is one of the most powerful feelings, very, very strong and so hard to get out of, and it does cause a lot of trouble on your nervous system level. So I can understand, because I'm also from Asian culture, and marriage is something you're supposed to get into and I'm supposed to stay in, especially for a woman. It's much lighter for a man, but for a woman, this is your main failure of your entire life.
Yeah, like, oh, you're a divorced woman. Like, yes. No one's going to like you. Like, you're not going to go anywhere or do anything, right? Like, it's so shameful. But at the same time, I was blessed because I live in LA and, like, all my friends are divorced. So I had help and I had a ton of support, especially my female friends and my gay friends. Like, I mean, the feminine is so powerful and I never take it for granted. Like, women in my life are the most important thing. Like, I make sure that I spend a lot of time taking care of these relationships. They all know that they are important to me and I would drop anything to come help them if they need help.
Yeah. High five to that. Yay.
Yeah, women first.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've chosen yourself. You've chosen yourself, and I feel like you
gotta bet on yourself.
Yeah. Universe always rewards that. and showing that you can choose yourself even when there is so much shame and cultural conditioning is a big test. And you won it.
Investing in myself has been the best ROI so far. So
yeah.
I think that's my lesson.
Right. And what about building that personal brand? What are your main lessons? What would you share with people now?
Hire a team. Like, you got to invest money. And I know people talk about money a lot as in like, well, but I'm not there yet. Get a loan. I mean, that's what I did. I know you have to spend money to make money. So I have a very like intense, high powered jobs parents. And they've always taught me these like weird things that I didn't really understand until I became an adult. Like, a lot of times, like, you know, they will tell me things like, I was never taught how to do a lot of chores because my mom believes that we should hire people to do chores because her time is more valuable and she'd rather spend working and spending time with me. So things like that, right? And then my dad saying things like, you know, when I started business, I like, you know, had to loan, like basically get a loan for like $6 million to like do this and was in debt for a long time before like they hit, you know, break even or a stabilized time. So I've always learned that risks are good, but I've never had to do it myself because I was an academic, which is like the safest job you can have.
Yeah.
And I was also married, which is like the safest relationship you can have.
Yeah.
So I was in a very safe space, but it was in the space that I was meant to be in. So when I started building my personal brand, I started sort of sitting down and reflecting on what lessons have I learned from my parents and also from all the successful people around me that I admire so much. Every single person that I surround myself with has something to teach me and something I can learn from. And even like whether it's small or big, I sit down and I sort of reflect on the lessons. The first one is you got to spend money to make money. So building a team was a huge shift for me. I wouldn't be here at all without my team. And like I said, the first person I hired was my publicist. Because if you want to be a public figure, you have to be in press, right? You got to play that game, the traditional media game, right? Because you can be an influencer, but you still need like acknowledgement and pedigree from press, unfortunately, right? We still live in that sort of world. So hiring my publicist was the first thing. Hiring my social media manager to work like full-time, basically filming, editing, posting 3 times a day. And now, I mean, I seriously have bet on the right people every time because my publicist started with me just an independent contractor. Now she has a big PR firm with tons of accounts. My social media manager started as my personal assistant. Now he has a big social media agency in LA that has a ton of clients. So I've been betting on the right people. Yeah. And I pride myself in that too. I can see people and I can be like, ooh, this is a person that's worth the time and investment. And then the third person I hired was my executive assistant because, you know, like doing so many different things, like someone needs to run my life, right? Someone needs to be able to tell me to do this, to go there, to book restaurants, to do all these things. So that's sort of my initial team. And then growing from there, when I started having a little bit more stable business, meaning like I have a deal, like a brand deal every month, then I reached out to my friend who owns a talent agency. Actually, it's for Asian American actors and actresses in Hollywood, but I was her like sort of first expert client because at this point, I can't negotiate all my brand deals myself. And here's why. One, when you negotiate yourself, there's this like losing phase, you know, like because I'm talent, right? I'm the talent. I need to be like protected, right? So there's that like losing phase moment. And then there's also like chasing for money moment. And then there's also sending invoice moment. And all of these moments sort of like it's losing my magic, right? Like I need to stay magical. I need to be like the unicorn and work with brands and present them in the most optimistic, pleasurable, orgasmic way. And I can't do that if I'm bogged down by like logistics and admin. So I figured I need a manager. And I reached out to the right person. We went to grad school together, and now we've been together for 2 years. And it's been really awesome to have management. I pay her 15%. I can also talk about any of these in terms of like transparency. If you have any questions for me, I pay her 15%. And so all the brand deals that come in, she gets all of them 15%. And if I get a new, like, if I get a new book deal, she gets 15%. If I sell a new show, when, not if, because I will. When I sell the new show, she will also make 15%. So she's just sort of managed my whole career.
Exactly. So that's fantastic. How many people do you have now in your team?
So now I have 7. So I have my LA publicist, social media manager, executive assistant, my management, Mylan. My management is a few different people. They all work together. I have my UK publicist. Because like when I'm here for Celebs Go Dating, I have a UK publicist as well. I have my podcast editor and I have my lawyer.
Do you manage your finances or is there a person who does that for you?
I manage my finances.
Yeah, that's how I thought.
I don't trust anyone with finances. My family is the only people I would trust, but they don't live in America. Like if my sister moves to LA, I would have her manage my finances.
A lot of people, especially women, have a lot of shame around money or a lot of blocks around money. And they also have this persona of, oh, I'm not good at money. Somebody else needs to do this for me. And if I do the business, I want to do the creative part. But then like the finances, somebody else needs to do. I was like that when I was in my early 20s, when I started my first business. And the lesson I received very quickly from my mentors was, if you don't run your finances, you don't run your business. If you don't understand your finances,
exactly.
You have no idea. You are hired by someone. Like that's not your business.
Exactly.
So it's very important.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope that I will get to a place where I have a CFO and then I can be inspired all the time and not have to like look at numbers. Then I can just be inspired, go live my unicorn life, run around, maybe go on a yacht in the Aegean Sea and swim in Greece and, you know, make content and have all my businesses make money. But before I get there, I need to like know all my finances. I need to know my taxes. I need to know all my write-offs. I work directly with I have a bookkeeper and an accountant. Which are the best people to pay.
Oh, yes, 100%.
Especially if you're an influencer or like a celebrity, like you don't know how to do it. So just hire someone to do it. My bookkeeper is freaking amazing. I want to give her a shout out if you guys ever need a bookkeeper. Her name is Jessica. She's so organized. She's so available. Like anytime I need something, like, hey, I need this to get a loan. She's like generating documents immediately. So she's so great.
But you're saying, yes, it's amazing to get yourself to a space when you have your CFO. But before that, you learn all of this. You understand it. You build your business by understanding the money, understanding the finances, and you get yourself to a space when you can have somebody else running that. But you, by that time, already embody this knowledge, already have a grip of it, and already understand.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need to know. Like, I need to be able to understand it. I can't just be like, oh, what? Like, how much are we making? What are we investing in? Like, you know, I need to know. My goal is that my brand that's coming out, Drip by Dr. Tara, is going to grow really big and it's going to be in all of Target stores. And that's going to be sort of where I like semi-retire.
Yeah.
Like that's my 10-year plan is that how old am I now? I'm 36. So by 46 that I can sort of semi-retire. I would never retire because I fucking love what I do. I want to do it every day all the time. But then I won't be like so full on, right? Then I can sort of sit back. And of course, when Drip is so big, I would hire, you know, COO, CFO, and potentially CEO. And I'm sort of just, you know, advising.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best. At one point I really want to highlight in this podcast for people listening who are like, oh, orgasms make more money. Okay, what's this title? it's orgasms definitely help, but also financial education is so important. And it's
even
from the energy perspective, for if anybody is, especially a lot of people who are in the spiritual world and the tantra world are listening to this podcast. And it is beautiful when we can be financially supported and we grow. And a lot of people want exactly that who are listening to this podcast, as it's called Feminine Power. And power is about being able to create what we want. We can't really reject the structure of our finances if we want to build successful businesses and brands, and we cannot outsource that. And we need to love the money, and to love them, we need to see them. And to see and understand them, be close to them and understand how they work. So that's amazing that you do that. Because I was wondering, you have all these people, who does the money? You do the money. Perfect.
I do the money. Yeah, I do the money. I know my finances. I know the business. I know how much it's on my payroll. I know. Yeah. There are a lot of, especially women out there, that are afraid of money or afraid to say they love money because it's dirty, right? Because like you have to have pure intentions. You have to have like, you know, like money can't buy happiness, right? Like that word. But when you do that, then you project into the universe that you don't want it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, I love money. Give me more. Like I love money. Money loves me. Money finds me everywhere I go. I mean, I've been on vacation for so long. I still get money. So it's like, to me, what you said is really powerful. Especially for women entrepreneurs out there, don't think money is dirty. Money is amazing, and money allows you to grow your influence and to help more people. And the point of being alive, really, for me at least, it's to help more people. What's the point of being just here and not helping any fucking body, right? For me, the whole reason I exist is so that I can help more people. And I'll die very happy if I've known that I have helped so many lives.
Yeah, and you're helping people to experience more pleasure. I'm excited for your Loop product to be coming out. That's amazing.
So I have been using it, and the feedback I got is that it's fucking amazing. And it kind of feels like my pussy, so
amazing.
There's that. In a bottle. So I think it will do really well. It's really, really nice, very clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working with a really good team.
Yeah. So how did you find, like, my question, that's for me personally interesting. I don't know if it's interesting for people on the podcast, but for me, totally. How do you find these amazing people?
Of course it is. What you find interesting is what everybody else finds interesting.
How do you find these amazing young talents? You know, hiring can be so difficult, and usually you want to find someone experienced, la, la, la. I also prefer finding someone who is a true talent and seeing them grow. How did you do that so well with your first shots?
So I have to admit, I have the advantage because I'm a professor. I get access to a lot of college students, and I know who are the A students, who are the responsible ones, who are the ones that take initiatives, who are the ones that are really good at talking, who are the creative ones. And two main players in my team are from school. So I have Adam and Victoria. They're both from my classes. And Adam has always been like a C student, but super creative, does not fit in the box. Very creative, takes initiative, and has a ton of energy. He's a Gemini, so a little crazy. But that's where social media, like, he's thriving. That life is crazy. Owning a social media agency is crazy. So I hired him for that, and for also be my personal assistant and my zodiac, like, sort of a guru, because he loves reading tarot cards and the charts. And then I hired Victoria to be my executive assistant, which I'm planning, as soon as we hit our like critical goal for revenue, I'm promoting her to COO. I'm sure she needs to be like she needs to be doing all my operations. But currently, as my executive assistant, I hired her because she was an A student, A plus, 4.0 GPA, right? Do everything that's asked. Really amazing at following strict instructions, right? Maybe she's not the most creative person, right? Because Adam, the C student, is creative. But Victoria is so good at carrying out whatever I say and exactly the way I want it. So it is like, oh my God, talking about it, I'm crying because I am so grateful that I met these people and I was able to pull them into my life. My publicist, though, came in naturally. She emailed me. She cold emailed me. She cold emailed me. And this is where I don't sleep on people that cold email you and LinkedIn you. Because I also hired my editor from LinkedIn who emailed me, showed me, yeah, took initiative, took my old podcast, edit clips, and sent it to me and see, do you like this? I'm like, fuck, I do. Yeah. Yeah, so I actually, you know, I used to think like, oh, this is all spam. But I actually take a glance. I take like a quick 10-second glance to see if it's worth my time to have a call. And that's what happened with Holly, my publicist. Is like, I took a glance and I'm like, oh, she seems interesting. And then, yeah, the rest is history. We're still together many, many years now. Are you looking for a social media manager?
Yeah, I'm looking for someone. I want someone young, creative.
Always the one young.
Like just thinking out of the box, coming up with their own ideas. Because mostly I struggle with people who just want instructions. So like, okay, so what would you like me to do? Like, I have no idea. I want you to tell
me. But that's a good executive assistant and COO.
Yeah, that I have.
People that are, yeah.
The assistant, yeah. I have, that I figured out. And finding someone who's like self-driven. Come on, guys.
We're going to find you someone.
Anyway, with this conversation is turning into a hiring conversation. Hopefully, someone's listening to this podcast and will just apply for a job.
Yeah, got to put it out there. And hey, like, you know, I can always post for you. I can post on my story saying like, hey, my friend, a female entrepreneur is looking for a social media manager, because lots of people pitch me and I have to tell them I already have someone. I don't need another person. But when they pitch me, maybe I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
yeah, of course, always. And I'm always here to help with whatever you need.
Yeah, you're so supportive. Thank you so much. I know you're so supportive for women. It's like I can so feel it because you've shared with me so many different cool companies that you invested in or connected with. And
always, I will always bet on women entrepreneurs.
All right. So what would you share with people who just want to start their business? They've never started a business before. It's like you were basically 5 years ago, a college professor. Like how, what would you share? What is one most important thing to focus on?
I'm going to share something that's really controversial. When you become an entrepreneur, there's no work-life balance. It's work-work balance. And if you want work-life balance, perhaps extreme entrepreneurship is not for you. I don't mean that I had a miserable life. I had an amazing, great life because I consistently achieved something and that gives me satisfaction. But it takes a certain personality to do this as well. Not everyone is meant to have high pressure entrepreneurial journey. And that's okay. Like people can exist and thrive and have a very fulfilling life in many, many different ways. But if you want to build a business, a brand, and become an entrepreneur, know that like your first year, there is no work-life balance. It's just work-work balance. And I know it's controversial, especially for women and in wellness space. People always talk about self-care, but all I did was fucking hustle. Like all day, every day, all the time. And I mean, I'm pretty happy where I'm at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I must say I can resonate with that. It's in an ideal world, you can create balance, but unfortunately, most of the time, it's not the case. Very often, we hear this, we can see and we can witness stories of balance, but that most likely came after the lessons were already learned.
Yes.
And after foundation has already been built.
After the first year.
Yeah, or sometimes first 3 years, like, you know, you never
sometimes
know.
First 3 years, yeah.
Yeah, it can take longer and it does require a lot of sacrifice. I find it extremely important to be able to balance, at least like have a massage, definitely eat really well. Another thing is we teach this amazing course, Feminine Power Blueprint, and it's about healing and stepping into your power as a woman. And in the healing world and in the space of spiritual connection and reconnection, there is one piece that is very rarely spoken of, very similar to this piece of work-life balance. Always, I feel, same as with starting a business or starting starting your healing journey, starting to your spiritual journey, that first, there will be a very difficult period of time. Either you have to work pretty hard, have to cry, you have to like release all the fears, pains, limits. It's not going to be beautiful right away. And especially with when it overlaps so much, if you're, for example, now have a great comfortable life and you suddenly want to start a business, or you suddenly want to have better orgasms after you've been just having very average orgasms, or you want to enter into a more devotional and spiritually alive space, neither of these things, better orgasms, spiritually alive space, or business, are going just to start nicely. All of these three things, first you have to go through shit. Like, all of them. Like, either you have to learn how to unlock your numbness and completely not experience any orgasm. Like, it's, you have to go through shit first. And that's
just... Yeah, it's not always like rainbows and butterflies, right? And those that can get through that first part will reap the rewards. And I feel like, you know, in a grand scheme of things, and this is where my like psycho Virgo thing comes in, right? In this grand scheme of things, I feel like I'm just starting. I'm only in the starting phase, right? There's so much more. There's 40 years from now. Like, what happens? What happens in 10 years? Because I've only started less than 5 years ago. What happens 5 years from now? What happens another 10 years, another 15 years, another 20 years? So I'm in the grand scheme of things, still in a very startup phase.
Yeah. And you already are seeing that things are getting much easier. So sad. How do you self-care now? As my last question, you do lots of pleasure practices. Is there anything else you'd like to do? Like maybe Shibari is a new thing, or?
Could be. Shibari could be my new thing. Because I tried that full session with Mistress Catharsis and I really, really loved it. So, and it allows me to surrender for a bit. I would like to go into more intensely, like taking care of my body. So like, I already have a personal trainer, but I don't think I see him enough. He also yells at me when I see him. So, but like, I just want to make sure that my body is getting ready to like, you know, get older. Because I'm 36 now. And in 4 years, I'll be 40 and I'll be 45 and I'll be 50. Like, I just want to make sure my body is like really healthy so that I can live longer and help more people.
We must invest in our health as entrepreneurs. And the more we progress, the more things really depend on how we feel and in this external world.
If you get sick all the time, you can't be making money.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah. So health is first, right? Health is wealth.
Yeah, health is wealth. Love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This conversation has been orgasmic. I really appreciate your energy and all the teachings you put out there. You're such an inspiration to a lot of women entrepreneurs. And... oh, I just can't get enough of you.
I love your drive. And that gave me a lot of inspiration for today. I'm like, whew, I want to really review where I'm placing my energy. And like, especially the team. Oh my God. That's amazing. That's so beautiful. And thank you for creating all that you create for pleasure for this world and all your content and especially your upcoming book. I can't wait to experience.
Yes. It's called How Do You Like It? The Guide for Getting What You Want in Bed. I'm going to send you the link for pre-sales. Let's manifest that I become a New York Times bestseller, because that's exactly what's going to happen.
That was Dr. Tara, and you can find her on social media at lovebites.co. Her book, How Do You Like It? A Guide to Getting What You Want in Bed, is coming out this holiday season, and the details are in this episode description. You've been listening to the Feminine Power Podcast, your space for embodiment and feminine wisdom. And if you're feeling the spark from this conversation already inside of your body, and if you're ready to not just listen, but to live this way, there is a path. Feminine Power Blueprint is our 3-month initiation for women, ready to reclaim their bodies, their energy, and their power. You'll be guided by 11 incredible teachers through embodiment, love, money, energy, and pleasure to build a life that's resourced, magnetic, and fully your own. It is truly a full body shift. And our next live round begins in October, and the early bird enrollment is now open. Find the link in this episode description to join now. I'm Maria Grinina, and until next time.